for your patience for a moment there. If you could open up with me to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to, in a moment, get the opportunity to share an opportunity with you all that the Lord gives us this time of the year. I want to first, though, there's a bit of a distinction and a contrast that the Lord gives us, and we're going to look at a couple of passages here for just a moment. In Matthew chapter 24, if you would look with me, the beginning of this chapter begins to go through and describe really the times that we begin to face as we get closer and closer to our Savior coming back. And he continues in his description in verse 9. Jesus says that, "Then they will deliver you to tribulation, they'll kill you, you'll be hated by all nations because of my name." I think we see that quite a bit, don't we? We notice that happen a few times. And it says, "At that time many will fall away, betray one another, hate one another." I think we see that pretty clearly. "Many false prophets will arise." That never happens, does it? Never see that, right? "Mislead many." It says, "Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold." Probably even easier on a day like today, right? But one of the things that clear picture of the way that the world around us begins to go is the distinction that we have of how God has called us as the body of Christ to be with one another. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says, "A new command, new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples." Well, that's because that's pretty different than what we just read, isn't it? I mean, love's growing cold. What sense there even was, there's no feeling or care. You know, things go cold, they grow numb. Maybe you were a little numb walking in this morning. You begin to not have that feeling for one another any longer. But he says, "They'll know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another." It's a distinction that God begins to create through the Spirit of His Son in us, that though the world begins to grow colder and colder, and we see the hate, we see the things, you just turn on the news for 2 seconds, and it's all over. And yet God has called there to be a distinction, and according to 1 John, we love because He first loved us. It's not because we're so magnanimous or loving, but it is the love of Christ that dwells in us if we've received His Son, if we receive Christ as our Savior. If you turn with me as well to 3 John, I'll let you guess the chapter. But 3 John begins to talk as well about not only those that are right immediately in our body with us, but it also says in verse 6 that they've testified to your love before the church, that you will do well to send them on away in a manner worthy of God, for they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. That love of Christ, not only the body that's within these walls, but the times the Lord gives us to also come alongside those that are going out for the sake of the name, that are not taking the way of the world, but are desiring to go out. As we see the hostility in Matthew of those that will proclaim His name, you realize the heart to go out and want to proclaim Him anyway. You go, well, the love of Christ would compel me to want to come alongside those. And I'm going to call Diane up. This time of the year, we've got a great opportunity to not only encourage and share love with one another in this body, the love of Christ, but we get to do it in a way that also gets to come alongside those that are going out for the sake of the name. So I'm going to scoot over here.
You stay right there.
No. These are mobile.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, well, this is one of my favorite times of the year because we get to minister to our church family and our missionaries as well. So first I want to present a rhetorical question. Has anybody ever seen... Rhetorical means don't answer. Okay, there's a candy box in the back. Anybody know there's a candy box in the back? Okay, well, it's not just because we have chocoholics at our church. each opportunity for a piece of candy, when you put what the Lord lays on your heart of money into the box, on there is a label for you to pray for our missionaries over in India. We minister with Family Bible Church in India with the family of Robinson Gill, his wife, and their son Kevin. Robinson teaches other men and women to share the gospel in their own villages, sometimes very remote villages. And their names and pictures are back there too, so you can see that. I had 3 John 5 through 8 as well. It tells us that we are fellow partakers in this ministry with them when we support them. Support does not only mean money, it can also mean prayer. So maybe you don't have, maybe you're the widow with the 2 mites. You know, give what the Lord lays on your heart. And even if, again, if it's just time or prayer. It's not easy to share the gospel in these other countries as it is in here in America. And the ones we support sometimes face very harsh opposition, especially in those remote villages. So please be praying for them. So the candy is twofold. First, money goes to the missionaries in their home countries, but even more important, it's that time to pray. So parents teach those little children, hey, we need to be praying each time that you get a piece of candy. I know I'm not really as good as I need to be with the grandkids who keep bringing me lots and lots of candy. I need to sit down with them and pray. And then secondly, I love February because it gives our church body the opportunity to minister to one another while also supporting these men and women in their endeavor to share the gospel. So starting today and all of February, it's not just secluded to the one day for the year or the month, you will be able to give money to the missions. Now, I don't want y'all to feel obligated to give because 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, so we don't want anyone to give under compulsion. Don't come to me and ask me how much it costs. It doesn't cost anything. It costs what the Lord puts on your heart to give to our missionaries. I brought my visuals today. There are little pieces of paper back there by a heart, a Valentine's bag. On this strip of paper, what I would like you to do is put your name because you are the giver of the Valentine's. Then I want you to put in the middle who you would like to give them to. Maybe I just want to give one to Dave because he's my husband. That's fine. Or maybe you want to give them to the whole church. Then just write the whole church. Then over here, you can write a verse that you would like typed on your Valentine that will go to everybody in the church. It's a lot of fun. And then the children, as you're going to see, starting next week, are going to run around in between services handing out all of these different Valentines and offer a piece of candy. You don't even have to feel obligated to take the candy if you don't want to. If you don't put a verse, I will pick one for you from Scripture. One of my favorites is Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. So that bag is back there. Now, what do I do with the money that I want to give? Don't give it to Diane, okay? Don't put it in that bag. Put it in an envelope like this. Write Missions Valentines and then put the amount in there. The name is not required. If you want to, that's fine. And then slip it in the offering plate when the offering plate comes around. Missions Valentines in an envelope, not to Diane and not in the bag back there. If I find money in there, that's okay. I know what to do with it. I will write on here and I will stick it in the offering plate for you. If anyone has any questions or would like to help volunteer, please talk to me in between services. We meet at my house during the week. One last note. If you receive a Valentine and your name is spelled incorrectly, please let me know because if you don't, I will call you that from here to eternity. And I would really like for you to tell me how to correctly spell your name. My name is Diane. And so if someone wrote Diana, you know, I just don't like it. But there's an E at the end of my name. So again, if you have any questions, again, time to minister to our missionaries as well as our body of believers. And it also gets our young people to minister to our body. And they just have so much fun running around finding out who you are. And I have to admit this year, I also will have to learn some of our newer people so I can give you your Valentines as well. Thank you, Pastor James.
Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just give you thanks for your loving kindness, for your love for us. We recognize that we wouldn't even know how to love. It would be in our own way of thinking, and it would just be twisted. But because of your perfect love for us, because of your salvation, the gift of your Son and his Spirit in us, that we can actually walk in love, begins to be a fruit that defines our life. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for opportunities that you give us to walk in that love and to be willing to lay down of what we have for you. Lord, we give you thanks for those that you've burdened and called to go into even dangerous places. We think of Robinson and Molly and the different families that are ministering alongside of them in India. Lord, we recognize that without your strength and endurance, nobody could do that. Could begin to withstand the difficulties that come in. So, Lord, we give you thanks for your strength, and we pray for them in this time, that you just continue to strengthen them for the work ahead. And, Lord, we wait on you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.